For the benefit of the translators, I'm going to omit pages 8 and 9 and the first paragraph on page 10. For the past few years, I have been associated with an organization known as the National Conference of Christian and Jews. This is a national organization with councils and cities all across the country, manned by local officers and committees. In Salt Lake City, a Catholic, a Protestant, a Jew, and a Mormon, all working together as co-chairmen in the interest of promoting fellowship and brotherhood. And I have thought what a wonderful thing it would be to extend this kind of fellowship to all religions and people throughout the world. The president of this organization, David Hyatt, has stated, "Brotherhood, the respect for the dignity and worth of another human being, must become a part of our conscious activities, not just philosophical rhetoric or afterthought." And he continues, "Brotherhood is democracy at work. It is giving to others the rights and respect we want for ourselves. It can be that simple and that profound." Now, as I have observed the members of this organization and have studied their aims and ideals, I have been impressed with what I have seen them accomplish by people working together in harmony and in unity, achieve their purposes. And I thought the other groups working for a brotherhood or sisterhood to promote other causes or projects. My mind always came back to the organization of the priesthood of God, which is the greatest and most important brotherhood association in all the world. How fortunate we are to be members of it. But as I have seemed to be always reminding us, the membership comes great responsibility and great opportunity. It is not enough for us to be members and to be satisfied with the numbers we have in our respective quorums. We want to reach out and embrace all the world in our brotherhood, which is the only organization designed to bring them the greatest gift they could receive, that is eternal life. The members of the church are in a very unique position because they know and understand that all human beings are literally spirit children of God, and that the family unit is eternal and can enjoy eternal progression, which should be the goal of all. Because we know that God is our Father, we refer to one another as brothers and sisters, just as children and families do, and we enjoy a true feeling of brotherhood. Some people ask the reason for an organized church. They feel they can work out their own salvation alone, and that there is no need to attend church meetings or fill other requirements as long as they are honest and honorable and do good to their fellow men. But the Lord has given us instructions that we should belong to a church. And this, his church, is the same organization that Jesus Christ himself established while he was on the earth. We have many explicit declarations from the Lord that make this clear, and also that we need to encourage and help one another. He said, "And that thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world, thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacrament upon my holy day." Another, "It is expedient that the church meet together often to partake of bread and wine in the remembrance of the Lord Jesus." Further, he said, "And I give unto you a commandment that you shall teach one another the doctrine of the kingdom." And he admonished, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." All of these instructions are to help us enjoy life here and prepare ourselves to go back into the presence of our Heavenly Father. For this purpose, the earth was created, and we will find a scriptural account setting forth God's plan for us. We will go down, for there is space there, and we will take of these materials, and will make an earth whereon these may dwell. And we will prove them herewith to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. Unquote. To accomplish God's purposes and to prove ourselves, it is necessary that we work within his church and understand the direction of his authorized servants. We need the strength that comes from association with others who are seeking the same goals. To illustrate this, I should like to repeat a story related by Henry D. Taylor a few years ago in a talk which he gave at a conference and which is entitled, "Man Does Not Stand Alone." A boy was extended an invitation to visit his uncle, who was a lumberjack up in the Northwest. And as he arrived, his uncle met him at the depot. And as the two pursued their way into the lumber camp, the boy was impressed by the enormous size of the trees on every hand. There was a gigantic tree, which he observed standing on a hill all alone. The boy, full of awe, called out excitedly, "Uncle George, look at that big tree. It'll make a lot of good lumber, won't it?" Uncle George slowly shook his head, then replied, "No, son, that tree will not make a lot of good lumber. It will make a lot of lumber, but not a lot of good lumber. When a tree grows off by itself, too many branches grow on it. Those branches produce knots when the tree is cut into lumber. The best lumber comes from trees that grow together in groves. The trees also grow taller and straighter when they grow together." Then Brother Taylor made this observation: "It is so with people. We become better individuals, more useful timber, when we grow together than alone." Elder Sterling W. Sill, in an article entitled "Men in Step," wrote, "The greatest invention of all time is said to have taken place 2,500 years ago at Plataea, when an obscure Greek perfected the process of marching men in step. When it was found that the efforts of a large group of people having different motives and different personalities could be organized and coordinated to function as one, that day civilization began." Now, I might say that today all priesthood holders of the church are in step to march in the army of God in doing our duty, helping one another, looking after the church, fellowshipping all mankind. Then we will be accomplishing God's purposes and doing what he has intended for us to do when he established his church. The church has established a welfare program through which we can work in an organized way to assist those who are in need. Men and women spend countless hours working together in welfare projects, which will be stocked against the time of need by persons other than themselves. What a great feeling it is to realize that all throughout the church we have facilities for producing and dispensing commodities which have been placed in storehouses, ready to be distributed to the needy among us. This is the brotherhood in action, to labor or support financially programs which are for persons one may never see or hear about. It is easy to do things for our own families and loved ones, but to give our substance for the stranger who is in need is the real test of our charity and love for our fellow men. Another area where we benefit and blessings of some of we do not know is in the field of temple work, genealogical work. We perform thousands and thousands of ordinances for those who have died without having had the opportunity to do for themselves those things which are necessary for their advancement in the kingdom of heaven. In both these areas of our church activity, it is inspirational to see groups of men and women working together side by side in good fellowship to accomplish something for somebody else. Now, these projects strengthen personal relations between those who are working together and building testimonies of the truthfulness of a gospel which teaches that we are brothers, our brother's keepers, and inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Sometimes we can get our inactive brethren to assist in such projects, and when they catch the spirit of the work, they will want to continue their association with their brother in the quorum meetings. I'm waiting for those pages. In order to extend this brotherhood to all the world, we send out thousands of missionaries in keeping with the Savior's injunction to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. It is always interesting to hear the returned missionaries, no matter where they have labored, say that they served in the greatest mission in the world. This is because they have caught the spirit of missionary work and become persuaded that all men are brothers and children of God. And as they teach the gospel, they learn to replace with love any prejudice that they might have felt for the people among whom they labor. It is remarkable what the Spirit of the Lord can do for us. We pray every day that governments and countries which are not now closed to our missionary work will open their gates to make it possible for us to teach them the gospel, which alone will bring full understanding of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. We want to explain how they can return to live with God, their Father, and be returned with their families, and eventually live eternally as one great family. Though we are accused of prejudice, there is no people any place in the world with greater love for and interest in humanity than the Latter-day Saints. We express this feeling of brotherhood through the principles we teach and the work we do. We have mentioned temple work for the dead, our welfare services, and the great missionary work. We also express our concern and interest in our fellows through the home teachers for the priesthood organizations and the visiting teachers of the Relief Society. Where these visits are made as they should be, members of the church should feel that they are fellowshipped into the great brotherhood and sisterhood. I relate two experiences to demonstrate what I mean. A man in one of our organizations was transferred to New York City to direct the work of one of our radio stations. He had never been there in New York before, but he located one of our chapels and attended church the first Sunday that he was there. He was welcomed into the priesthood quorum as a brother, and his wife and children were similarly welcomed and were soon right at home. In contrast, at the same time, another young man whom we knew was sent by his company to operate another station. Though he was a member of a church with many times the membership of the LDS church, he found it most difficult to feel at home and soon asked for a transfer back to his original station. It might have been his fault, or it might have been the fault of his church. However, in our church, if the individual and the quorums are functioning as they should, all church members should feel happy, wanted, and accepted wherever they go. Another experience was related to me recently by one of our priesthood holders. This is what he said. I, with my wife and teenage son and daughter, had a very serious car accident. My wife, daughter, and son escaped without any serious injury. The car was totaled. As I was pulled out of the wreck, I was in a state of shock, paralyzed, and semi-conscious. The wreckers could not figure out how we came out alive. As people came to the scene of the accident, one man ordered them not to move me for fear of causing paralysis. He was the first man on the scene, and as he examined me, he found that I was wearing temple garments. He was a Mormon. After seeing me safely in the ambulance and on the way to the next town, he had alerted the bishopric, and as I arrived at the hospital, the brethren were there to administer to me. The attending physician of the hospital was a stake president. For the next week, I was on the critical list, and a member of the bishopric insisted that my wife and family stay at his home, taking meals and shelter there. After 3 or 4 days, my wife and family returned home to Phoenix, and the members of the ward rallied around my family to help wherever they could. One good brother offered to use his private plane or motorhome to bring me back home. We used the motorhome, which made it possible for them to slide the stretcher into it. When I arrived home, there were many friends there to greet me, and my dear friend and member of my priesthood quorum, who is a fine physician, took care of me. We cannot express our gratitude to those who offered assistance in so many ways, but most definitely we witnessed there the priesthood in action, and always will be grateful to be members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where such brotherhood is fostered. President Stephen L. Richards, a former counselor in the First Presidency, said, I have reached the conclusion in my own mind that no man, however great his intellectual attainments, however vast or far-reaching his service may be, arrives at the full measure of his sonship and the manhood the Lord intended him to have without the investiture of the Holy Priesthood. And with that appreciation, my brethren, I have given thanks to the Lord all my life for the marvelous blessings which has come to me, a blessing that some of my progenitors had, and a blessing which more than any other heritage I want my sons and my grandsons and my great-grandsons to enjoy. Well, brethren, I have tried to help us all to further understand our duty, that it might be truly said of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May we assist our prophet, President Spencer W. Kimball, in accomplishing his great desires for the benefit and blessings of mankind. His primary and most worthy goals are to take the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and to build temples wherein the work can be done to seal on earth and in heaven those blessings reserved for the faithful and righteous. May we strive with all our hearts, minds, and strength to do what the Lord would have us do in preparation for his second coming. I fully believe that when he comes, he will call on the faithful brethren who hold his priesthood in preference to any others to assist him in the consummation of his glorious work. I know he lives, that he will come again, and it is my earnest prayer that we will be worthy to meet him and assist him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.